Do you want to hear about how I burned my tongue?
Yes,
This
do tell.
morning, yeah. Picking up a grilled cheese at the diner for my mom.
Oh,
Yep.
yeah.
And I'm sitting there with my dad, and we were like, let's get drinks, like while we wait. And then we had to, the food came out really fast, and we had to drink it really fast. I got really distracted, sorry.
What did you get?
English breakfast tea with half and half, and to cool it down, I don't really like that much milk in my tea, but yeah, and some sugar.
Classic.
Welcome to Cold Email with Basha and Olive. Episode 21. Welcome back. A mailbag episode.
Alright, you want to kick it off?
Yeah. So, we took a break. Welcome back, dear listeners.
Welcome back, Olive.
Welcome back to you too, Basha.
Thank you. Taking a break is okay. Did you know that?
I did know that, but it's hard to tell myself that.
It's so hard to tell myself and also yourself that. Actually, it's very easy for me to tell you that and you to tell me that, but internally difficult.
Yes.
It's very important to take a break, okay? But I felt so guilty that we were taking a break. Like, every day I was like, oh my god, like, we're taking a break. Like, we're not doing it. Like, we didn't say we're taking... Like, you know, I felt... bad.
Yeah, it's very hard. Like, there's a lot of, I feel like podcast like comes with this, like, I don't know, built-in pressure to like upload very consistently and like, you know, either weekly or bi-weekly, and it's very difficult to do that. And often the people that do that, it is their job, or they get paid for it in some way.
So true. We get a little paid, like very slightly.
We do get a little paid.
We take the money from the ads, $5, and split it evenly. I think we've made about $20. I was like, oh, should I put that on my taxes? And I'm like, whoa, we made it. Never. Like, I'm not sure.
Wow,
I will, because I'm honest, but too much for my own good, maybe.
Oh, I wouldn't even. Well, now that you mentioned it, I'm going to remember it, but.
Yeah, I'll have to add that to the spreadsheet.
I'll add that to my freelance.
We could do it in our tax episode. We could do our taxes.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But not tell you guys how much we make. Anyways. What was I saying? Oh yeah, yeah. A podcast takes forever to write and edit.
It does.
Our production meetings, like that was so long this week trying to get this started again. But whatever. It's not our job. Neither of our jobs are this. But obviously, like, I love doing this, and I love the, like, kind of creative community of, like, advice sharers, and I don't know if that made sense, but I like what we do, basically.
It did make sense. I also love what we do and missed doing it, and coming back, it's fun. It makes me excited to do new episodes, and also, after taking a break, when you look, we had a lot of stuff written. Like way back in July, we have like 3 other episodes other than this one we're recording right now, like with notes, not fully outlined, but like with notes, and like, damn, coming back to it, I'm like, wow, we're pretty good. These are pretty good notes. The point in that being that it is nice to take, sometimes you need to take a break away from the project that you are working on and come back to it with fresh eyes and hot takes. That one's in our notes.
Yes, yeah, sometimes if I'm doing something, usually physical, if I'm like trying to learn something and I'm like, I just keep doing it a million times and I'm like not, I don't feel like I'm getting better. Like sometimes not intentionally, I'll just like leave it alone for a couple days, weeks, or months and then come back to it. And then I'm like, oh, randomly, like the information sunk in and I can do this. It's crazy. That's like magic.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, it like clicks. It is. Or is magic, or whatever. I feel like that's from something. Maybe I'm making it up.
Andy J. Pizza?
You know, I think that might be it. That's a hard maybe.
Hard maybe. We'll have the researchers look that one up. We're the researchers.
I'll just look it up later. So, Basha, what did you do over your break?
Well, we both had a lot of personal and professional things going on over the last few months. My highlights are tabling and selling goods, We had Ball of Day, aka the commemoration of our friendship, another Ball of Day. So that was cool. We independently of that saw Fleet Foxes together, which was interesting and overall good, even though I had some thoughts. Chain stitched a bunch, went super hard with work, and did some 60 to 70 hour weeks. That sucked. And I hope to not do that again, but I'm thankful for the work. Started going to emo shows, got a desktop, played a show with my band, sold baseball cards from a blanket at a flea market filled with some scary, if not dangerous, patrons and sellers, worked for Buck, saw my first hockey game, Let's Go Islanders. Oh, wait, I meant to say if you work at Buck, let's be friends, but yeah, Let's Go Islanders. I learned to believe in myself a little more each day. I probably went to a Mets game because it was the summer in between, and actually, yes, we did. You were there, Olive.
I was there.
Got new glasses, saw Steve Powers talk at SVA, considered going to grad school as a result, made some new friends, and recently I am one Barnes & Noble, all hardcover books half off sale, book richer. That barely made sense, but that's what I did.
That makes sense. I'm that too. I also bought a 50% off hardcover at Barnes & Noble when they were having that sale. I also share a lot of these.
It's true.
Like Ball of Day, Fleet Foxes, Mets game.
But you did some stuff.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of, I don't know how to describe it, a lot of things. A lot of drawing and not posting it. I made a couple music videos. I started participating in this Discord like animation thing called Motion Collabs. You should check it out. My new job got very busy after a very long time of being very much not busy. I saw two reunion tours, one of which was Big Time Rush reunion tour. Bought some little tiny highlighters from Target and some Microns. So we're having fun with pens and markers. I've been very much lately into buying like small like things from like the TJ Maxx or like Target like $1 section and like making them into something like home decor, like using those cheap little items to base my, you know, more felt projects off of. I also went with you to the Espo Art World free printing event. That was a very fun day. Working on Patreon stuff slowly but surely. Using Tumblr more. It's coming back, I swear it. Fashioning some playlists and preparing for tabling. A lot of behind the scenes stuff.
BTS Olive. You're in the army.
Oh my god.
Anyways. Olive, I am happy we took a break, even though I felt guilty during it.
Yes, as am I. We needed it. And we're better for it. Coming back with some new episodes.
So now that we're all caught up, and also thanks for your patience in waiting for this new episode.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now that we have that all out of the way, let's do our mailbag episode. Woo!
Where we answer questions from you.
From you. Do you want to read the first question?
Yes, this is a good one. I mean, they're all good ones, but I always like talking about these things. Yeah, so our first question comes from us from Daniel at @O_FISHEL on Instagram. And that is, what are things taught in art school that are true and passé?
True and passé. Okay, so I think maybe it'd be helpful if we break up this into two categories. Do you want to start with things that you think are helpful?
Yes.
And we're kind of just, we're just like, we're spitballing here. Like, this, we didn't talk about these, so.
Yeah.
You're really getting it today, guys.
Yeah, and now that we've said that, I'm like, wait, what are things that are helpful? Learning how to sketch is one of the most helpful things that I learned in art school, because it helps you learn how to, I don't know, make a fully realized idea, I think. Or helps you flush out an idea, like, a lot more than you could do if you, I don't know, just drew right on paper. Which has its own merit, too. And I'm learning to, you know, relearning how to do that as well. But I think that's one of the things that stuck with me most.
Okay, I have two helpful things. I think the best thing I got out of art school, which is a pretty crazy thing, pretty big claim, I think it was learning how to think through a project and just like how to like think logically about how to go about something, the process of making a project. But the like other things that I learned, a lot of them I feel like were from the people around me. Like, I feel like bestie Stephanie O'Byrne, aka, check out that episode, it was good. I feel like I learned from Steph that, like, you should just, like, reach out to random people. That was, like, a huge thing. And then something else that I learned that was, like, maybe more not directly from, like, the curriculum. Directly from the curriculum is, like, learning to think through a project. Indirectly is to, like, reach out to people, which I learned from Steph. And the second thing was just, like, since we had industry, people in the industry as professors, I think I learned how, like, they act and, like, what kind of, like, learn to take some cues from them, if that makes sense.
You're interacting with professionals already when you're in college because your professors are professionals in art school often, so.
Yeah, how to email a little bit. I sent some stupid emails, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say my... Love to send stupid emails. Stupid cold emails.
Let's go. I can't read any email I sent that was, like, a cold email from, like, more than 5 months ago because I'm just turned bright red. True at any time.
I feel like it's embarrassing, but it's like, hey, if they responded and that led to That's work, true. Then you were doing something right, even if it feels cringe, as the kids say.
Speaking of cringe, Olive, what are the passé, aka outdated things, aka unhelpful?
Oh, absolutely. Sending mailers to art directors and kissing art directors' asses to get work.
I knew you were gonna say mailers. Yeah, that's bullshit. I mean, I guess it does work, like, little, but then you, like, I just, like being who I am, and, like, I don't, like, care, you know? Like, I don't care about making my style, like, fit your thing. Not that I'm sending mailers to art directors or, like, remotely close, but...
Exactly! But I feel like we've talked to, like, I don't know, we've talked to art directors on this podcast just by being like, hey, do you want to come be on this podcast? And I feel like they teach you that you need to, like, do it this way and you need to send these mailers the way that it used to be and... I don't know. It's different now. I think you can get a lot farther by being nice and trying to, you know, just make, like, a genuine connection and become friends with people.
Yeah, I think my larger point... Sorry, I'm going to one-up you here. I think what...
Oh, yeah, go off.
I think the larger thing I'll speak... Like, that's a very good specific thing. That was also the first thing I thought of. I was like, even though, like, you could probably be different and, like, send someone a mailer and they might think it's cool. But, like, you know, there were some like, I don't ever, like, export with crop marks. Like, I was just exporting everything with crop marks. Even if I need crop marks, yeah. I, like, don't. Right? Like, which is crazy. Like, I make them manually, yeah. Which is psychotic, actually, now that I think of it. But, yeah, some of the workflows, obviously, like, that stuff gets outdated. But the larger thing that's, I think, not helpful that some people definitely, some professors had the philosophy of art has to be like this, like, or just like, it needs to be like this, like creative practices, like it doesn't have to be like anything. You could invent something, like, no, it does not have to be like that. But, you know, in the confines of like a school program where you're like trying to grade people, like, I understand how it becomes, like, it needs to be like this. Like, it needs to be illustrated typography in typography class. Like, what if it's still, I don't know. You know, like, what if it's, like, you make the letters out of rope?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like, if I could jump back to things that are helpful, I'm thinking of, like, a few professors who, one of the most helpful things was them teaching that and being like, okay, this can be whatever you want it to be, and you don't have to do it one way. Like, you can make illustrated typography with, I don't know, strings and tying knots if you want to. You don't need to do it any certain way. And I think that is one of the most helpful things, is unlearning that, having, I'm talking about Sketchbook Warehouse, second semester, senior year, one of the most important classes that I took there, and one of the classes where I relearned that art can be whatever you want it to be, and just draw what you want to draw or make what you want to make.
Definitely check out that episode with Greg Kletzel, who was our teacher.
That's like our second episode, yeah.
Maybe like our fifth. Yeah.
Fifth? Yeah. Really?
But definitely check that out. I feel like this is a good time to move on to the next question, but I just want to say overall it's a privilege to go to art school, and I had a lot of fun and good times and great learning. Shout out.
Yes, learned so many things. We met each other there too, so that was cool.
So true. That was important. Olive, what do you do when your full-time job is draining your creative energy? That question comes to us from James, aka at James, period E, period G-A-T-E-L-Y. You're very, like, full-time right now, and you feel like you have some drained.
Yes, I feel like I have, like, at the job I'm at right now, I feel like I have less creative energy drained. But my last job I was at, I had definitely creative energy drained, like, to zero.
I think this question we can split up too in a couple parts. Do you want to talk about dealing with burnout? Have you experienced that?
Oh, yes. And I feel like it comes in cycles, or it has, like, come, like, I'm looking back on the past couple of years since graduation now, I can pretty clearly see where, like, my cycles of burnout were. Like, immediately after art school, for a couple months, I fucking kept cranking out work. And then around September, I completely fizzled out, and I was like, I don't want to post on Instagram. I don't want to do this. I'm tired. And I was also doing, like, a lot more freelance at that time, so that was taking up a lot of my other energy. But I taking breaks, back to the beginning, you gotta take breaks. My last job, admittedly, it was draining my creative energy, so I quit. But not LOL, but during that time, trying not to beat myself up over not making a lot of stuff during that time, because I was very aware that that job was draining my creative energy, and directing creative energy towards different things. I got really into making playlists on Spotify. Like, I'd say that's a creative thing. That was very different from my job, and you know, it was fun. And it was something that, you know, it's not like art, it's somebody else's art that I'm just organizing. But it was a fun way for me to deal with burnout.
I think it's really important to not expect yourself to be able to be firing on all cylinders all the time.
Yeah, I think recognizing when you're having, like, burnout and being okay with not firing on all cylinders then is very important.
It's unrealistic to think, I mean, if you can, like, more power to you, but, like, to be like, I'm gonna draw every day for 365 days. Maybe it's not for some people, but for me, I always feel bad about not keeping a sketchbook as much as I used to, but yeah, I mean, like, I just, like, don't have the energy. And then, like, when I do draw, sometimes I'm like, oh god, like, I have to add to the sketchbook. And then it just becomes this, like, self, I don't know. I think you just have to, like, do things that, like, seem fun at the time and, like, know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And especially, like, you have to cut yourself some slack. Like, you are doing a full-time job. It's intense. So,
yes.
I actually, we've said this, like, a million times, so sorry. But I wanted to talk a little about transitioning from college to the working world, because this is a podcast about navigating the waters of early creative careers. I felt like, you know what? I was actually doing a lot. I was still keeping my sketchbooks, like, a lot. I was doing a lot in my free time of, like, work making, but then it kind of crashed, like, all of. I think the transition from college to the working world is very difficult. Like, I think we're still dealing with it, and we're 25. I'm gonna be 26
in a
month.
Oh my god, from today.
I know.
Happy
probably
almost birthday.
Yeah. Thank you. Jobs are pretty temporary.
Yeah.
And transitioning from college to the working world is really hard, and maybe it's about, like, finding something that fits and knowing that it's, like, a years-long process. I feel like we're just kind of getting normalized to now, even though it's still like, yeah, maybe knowing that your practice will change. You will grow and change, just like your body and brain and all. So
yeah, yeah, having a couple things and making them your own, because that's another passe thing they say in art school. They're like, you're gonna do this forever. Yeah, nah, you can do whatever you want.
I guess the advice is to enjoy the ride and like take what you can from wherever you are.
Yeah, and you will do so many different things. Yes. So our next question comes to us from Oscar at mo.low.down. And that is, what is the most comfy way to draw or create?
So I think the first thing we can tackle is, what are things that help enable us to be creative? I give this one a lot, but I feel like sometimes I just have to use the most like dinged up, not the most, like it can't be crumpled, but like a kind of like a dinged up like piece of paper, like or paper with a stain or like a rip. That helps me feel like less precious about whatever I'm making. And I think that is when it's easiest for me to be creative. Olive?
I would agree with that. I recently bought like highlighters in microns, two things of which, like, or they're like fluorescent highlighters too. Every professor at Pratt was like, don't use a micron and don't use fluorescent things because they're whatever, non-archival, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, now I'm drawing in my sketchbook a lot more because these are fun to use. So yeah, use, I think having things that are less precious make it easier to make art, and it doesn't lower the quality of the art to use materials that are less precious. You can always take a really nice scan. Reproduction is an incredible thing.
The art of reproduction in the age of art in the age of mechanical reproduction. My bad. My Pratt card, my Pratt alumni card just got revoked, I think.
Yeah, they're knocking at your door. They're like, hello.
The projects that allow me to be the most comfortable creating, I think everyone's just like, yeah, just let me do whatever you want. Like, that helps. I actually kind of like projects with some structure, which is not like, I feel like a pick me like person. Like, because I feel like a lot of people say that like structured projects like help. It's hard when it's like so like strict, but having guidelines, like sometimes I can't like do spec what, like I've tried to make like fake projects for myself and I never end up doing it. Like I need like a client to respond to. I mean, a drawing is different than like a graphic design thing, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think like making a drawing and making like a project are two different things. It's also very difficult for me
fake
to
project.
Make like a project that's like my own, like, you know, spec. Yeah, like fake project.
A comfortable setting to make stuff in. Again, I feel like just somewhere where I don't have to like formally sit down at my drawing desk with my bright white piece of paper and fancy drawing pen and draw.
Yeah.
Like just probably like where I'm not expecting to be.
See, I like having like a designated space for it, because then it like, I don't know, makes me feel more comfortable in the area. I'm like, okay, then I can set up my little things around me and have all my materials, and even if it's not my fanciest materials, even if it's just my sketchbook or a piece of fucking graph paper or whatever and a 4B pencil, I'm like, okay, this is just a little area, like making an area for it, and that area being my desk.
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Please, yes.
So I feel like the only place I've been drawing nowadays is in bed before I fall asleep. So I have a drawing in bed notebook. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But like, you know, I kind of like to draw from observation. It's like, I'm just like drawing what's in my room like every time. But we're like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that one out still. In terms of design, I don't know. Actually, you set me up with a laptop in a quiet room anywhere, I'm pretty good. Comfy chair is good. Desktop in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, for design, it's a little different, I think. Easier to lock in.
Yeah, Because, like, yeah, for my day job, I'm like, okay, I need to, like, have my work computer and I need to sit in this chair. But that's also, like, because I like to separate it from, like, everything else. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I don't want to sit in my fun desk and, like, you know, sit in my little chair. Like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to taint that with work.
I like it.
I don't mean it like that. I don't hate my job, but I'm like, it's very helpful for me to separate my things. Our last question is again from Daniel at @O_FISHEL, and that is, how do your personal politics affect what you work on and how you work?
Sorry, I'm just looking up Daniel's podcast. Oh, yeah. So we can just shout it out. Okay, and special shout out to Daniel for asking us two questions. That was sick, and they were two really good questions, so we wanted to share them with you, because it's... gotta think about them. And I just wanted to say, if you like this podcast, maybe you should consider checking out High Res Low Res, Daniel's new podcast, which you can find more info about on Daniel's page, again, @O_FISHEL. Great. Okay. So how do your personal politics affect what you work on? Okay. So I would say the obvious answer is that I don't take on work that I feel is antithetical to my values. Here's a good example. I got pitched to work on a pitch deck for a script about a horror movie where there was sexual assault in the, like, it centered around that. And I read through the script and I felt like ill. Like, I was like, I'm very sorry, even though you're my friends, I cannot work on this. It's hard, though, because you, like, want to take on work to make money and eat and live and pay your bills. Have you said no to something? Based on, like, you're like, this doesn't
align. I didn't get the chance to say no to a recent project that was by, like, you know the one. I don't even have to say it. It's... I got, like, a Instagram DM from, like, this TikTok, like, pop-punk artist. It was, like, very obviously, like, some kid that's just, like, you know, riding the pop-punk wave, like...
Not a real one.
Like, yeah, it's, like... And I don't mean to gatekeep pop-punk, but you know how it is right now, the MGK wannabes, and... The kid was just, like, not being rude, but it was, like, just, like, weird, and I was like, this does not feel right, and I told him my prices, and he ghosted me, and I was thankful for that, because I'm scared of saying no, but if I had gotten the chance to say no, I think I would have.
Oh, I'm reading this in a couple ways, this question, but yeah, that was so funny. I'm sorry, when I saw that kid's video... That was crazy.
Yeah, that one was hilarious. It was really hilarious.
How do your personal politics affect what you work on? I realize this could also be about, like, personal politics affecting your process, like, how we're, you know, like, we care a lot about, like, the value of labor.
Yeah.
I always, like, fight. I have a hard time, like, asking for money, like we all do. Or, like...
Yeah.
It's scary to ask for money and, like, to, especially when you feel like it's a big number, but I try to always make sure I'm being paid. No, I make sure I'm being paid a fair wage. And if you not, do. Like, there are concessions on both sides. Like, I make sure we get to a place where it's fair for both, like, myself and, like, a small business or whatever. And I don't take on, like, any, like, work for, you know, or not work for, I don't take on, like, I've never done, like, a design test. I don't think that's, like, an equitable, like, fair thing to ask of people.
Yeah.
Do you think this could also be interpreted as, like, your personal politics? Like, that art director's, like, a dick. Like, I'm not gonna work.
Oh.
Like, do you think?
I don't know. I feel like we could answer that, too. Like... I mean, if an art director's a dick, you're probably not going to want to work with them in the future, so. Or not recommend other people work with them.
There's a couple places that I've worked with in the past year that I'm, like, not so quick to, like, hit up again. Even though it's, like,
yeah.
I already have the connection. Because I didn't like how they treated labor. It comes a lot down to labor, I guess, and, like, the value of labor. And being fair to workers, and you're your own boss, so you have to be fair to yourself.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's hard to stick up for yourself.
Have you, I guess on that topic, have you ever avoided working or like emailing someone or like been scared to like work with a certain like company because you're like, oh, this person works here and I don't like them?
I had that with an internship in junior year where a professor who was signed to a artist representative, and I had another professor, like I had gotten that internship and another professor had recommended me for it. So I was like, okay, well, I gotta take it. Like, he's like, you know, like very kindly recommending me for this. But I found out that it was the former rep of one of my other professors who he did not like. And I was like, oh no, is this gonna be horrible? I just asked the professor, I was like, hey, is this gonna be terrible? He was like, no, you're gonna be fine. Just take it with a grain of salt.
And okay, I wanted you to respond to the other part, which was, or I wanted to hear your take on the other part, which was like, do your personal politics affect like your process?
Yeah, I think labor advocates trying to work for companies and like for clients that are like, I don't know, I just want to work for people that are nice. Like, I don't know if that, yeah.
Like avoiding the clout clients that don't pay you, that the only benefit there is like clout.
Yeah. Fair pay. Yeah, because I've had like, yeah, fair pay. And also like coming back to it, like I've had clients where like for the first project, I just wanted to do it. And so I, you know, I worked for something that was like very, very cheap. And they've like come back when they've had more money and like given me more money to like work for them. And that is like, I think that's worth a lot. Like,
that is
working for good people. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. Like, you work with small bands and like you understand like not everyone is a corp.
Yeah, I was like, this is an artist like directly paying another artist. Like, yeah. The fact that they had $500 at all to give me was like, okay, like that's very, yeah, like that's pretty good.
Yeah, like totally down the slide, the scale for the small.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
Olive, I feel like I know a lot more about you now. Just kidding. But I hope everyone else does feel that way about us. Or their burning questions were answered, at least.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anything else we wanted to ask each other?
Do you have anything?
It says that's our last one.
I don't know. I feel pretty good. Do you have anything?
I feel pretty good, too.
What are you going to eat for dinner?
I think my mom is making burgers.
Nice.
Yeah. What are you gonna eat for dinner?
Picked up some potatoes earlier, so may have to eat a potato or two. They're small.
Nice. Oh, those little ones.
Yeah, and then may eat some additional victuals. Anyways, okay.
Victuals. I love that. That is I love that.
Thanks for tuning in. We're happy to be back.
Yeah, thank you for joining us on our
journey.
Return episode.
Return.
And this journey. Yes.
Cool. Talk to you next time we talk, Olive.
Next time we have.
Alright.
Cold Email is a very professional podcast about being early career creatives and all the trials, tribulations, and good times that come with it. Recorded, written, and performed by Basha Kurlander and Olive Lagaze. Edited by Basha Kurlander. Follow us on Instagram at cold.email and check out our website, cold-email.tumblr.com. Email us at coldemail1000@gmail.com with any questions you want us to answer on the show, suggestions for future themes, or to inquire about guest starring in an episode. Music by Basha Kurlander aka Marbly. As always, thanks for listening.
I'll get back to the script. Oh, Billy. I don't know if I want to tell that story.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to end the recording.
Me too.
It's funny, I almost hung up.